get ready to grip it and rip it.
All right, let's move on. We got golfers waiting.
Dedicated to bringing better golf to America, this is Tee to Green, the golf show.
That's right. Golfers, listen, because we speak their language every Sunday right here on Tee to Green, the golf show. Hello, fellow golfers, and welcome. I'm Jay Ritchie from the five-star Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. How you doing? And thanks for making what we do a part of your sports weekend. Another big show for you today. The USGA and the RNA are teaming up again and looking for feedback on distance in golf. There's a survey online that you and I and every golfer in the world can take. Everyone who takes it will be asked a series of questions about distance in golf. Some of the questions will be like, do you think recreational golfers are hitting shots farther than they did 5 years ago? And what do you think should be the most important to success in the game of golf? You can take that survey until October 31st. And on the show today, our friend Rand Jarrus with the USGA will be here to tell us why they're doing this and what they will do with that feedback. Meantime, later in the hour, what the heck happened in France last week at the Ryder Cup? The United States took, on paper anyway, one of its best teams ever to France and got drubbed. Another one of our good friends, Dave Shedlowski, was there, and today he is here to tell us what really went down last week at the Ryder Cup in France, just outside of Paris. That and a couple of tips from Mark Gebble of the Broadmoor, all straight ahead on Tee to Green.
It's early Sunday morning, the sun is coming up. I'm on the tee at 7, I'm here to try my luck. They say this game's a tough one, but I'll give it my best shot. Though the bunkers look like beaches and the greens like parking lots. Oh Lord, what am I going to do? Help me keep my head down, save me from those double bogey blues.
It's America's longest running network radio golf show, still going strong. Check us out on our website, teetogreenradio.com. Like us on Facebook also. Scott Cuddy in Master Control. I'm Jay Ritchie, teeing it up with Dr. Rand Jarrus of the USGA next, right here on Tee to Green.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-426-3569. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003, 800-485-6003, 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
Your top source for golf news and entertainment on the radio. It's Tee to Green. It's the Golf Show. Jay Ritchie from the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado, back with you for another big show on what looks to be a day that you can play golf in Colorado Springs. It's probably not going to be the most pleasant day we've had in a while. A little chilly out there, but I was reminded last week we did our show outdoors here at the Broadmoor on the terrace by the lake right outside of the South Tower here. We could do that today, but it would be just a little bit chilly. Thankfully, we are indoors, and great to be with you again for another edition here of Tee to Green on the show today. Well, we're going to talk Ryder Cup, everyone trying to figure out just what the heck happened in France last week at the Ryder Cup, as the United States took one of its best teams over to Europe to play Team Europe and defend the cup, and also look to win on European soil for the first time since like 1993. Didn't happen. The Americans got hammered 17.5 to 10.5. And Dave Shedlowski, our good friend who was in France last week covering the Ryder Cup, scheduled to join us today to talk about that as we try to dissect just went down in France last weekend between the Americans and the Europeans. The USGA and the R&A are teaming up again. They're inviting the global golf community to share feedback on distance in golf. It's actually a project they began back in May, and this is just a new phase of it. It's an online questionnaire that is open to all interested participants anywhere in the world. If you're a golfer, you can do this. You have until October 31st. It's also available in 10 languages. You can go online to usga.org/distanceinsights, usga.org/distanceinsights, or if you like, you can go to the R&A website, which is R&A, the letter R, the word and, the letter A, R&A.org/distanceinsights, and you can take that survey. You have until the end of this month to do that. Everyone who takes the survey will be asked a series of universal questions about distance in golf, which is defined by how far shots travel. Some of the questions include, what do you think makes golf most interesting to watch? What do you think should be most important to success in the game of golf? And do you think recreational golfers are hitting shots farther than they did 5 years ago? Participants may be invited to take part in follow-up phone interviews or online group conversations. So you can take this thing online, and then the USGA or the R&A might get back with you and say, hey, we'd like to do a follow-up over the phone, or you can go online again and do a follow-up to get deeper perspectives on the topic. Individual responses are confidential. Survey results will be published sometime in 2019, next year, when the final Distance Insights Project report is made public. As we mentioned, this started in May. the USGA and the RNA embarking on to initiate the most comprehensive global study of distance ever done in golf to date, a detailed research and data review, and the collection of views from throughout the golf industry will be packaged, the aim to achieve better understanding of the contributors to and the impacts on distance in golf. And we're trying to get hooked up with Rand Jarrus right now from the USGA to tell us more about that distance project that you have until October 31st to participate in. The USGA and the RNA will also accept relevant original and commissioned research directly related to distance via email through December 20th. So if you have some pertinent information or what you think is pertinent information, you can email the USGA and the RNA with that information, and you have until December 20th to do that. I think that particular facet of this project is aimed at organizations more so than individuals, although there are probably some individuals out there who do have some relevant information. But if you would like to, you can email them, and you can also request that data in person as well. That's the USGA and the RNA. The USGA.org/distanceinsights is what you can pull up online in order to take that survey. And you have until October 31st to do that. And then, of course, as I mentioned later in the hour, we'll try to get it hooked up with Dave Shedlowski. Shed is pretty busy. He's writing for Golf Digest. He's doing a lot of other publications, magazines, websites, you name it, he does it. And he spent some time in France all last week covering the Ryder Cup, and we're trying to get his thoughts on just what happened last week at the Ryder Cup. If you follow our Ryder Cup blog, if you followed our Ryder Cup blog on our Facebook page on Saturday, we kind of saw this coming. We went down through every singles match, all 12 of the singles matches that took place on Sunday. Now, the Europeans started the Sunday singles matches. They ended up on Saturday with the lead of 10-6. There were 12 singles matches, and we went through each of the singles matches and told you who we thought would win. Or whether or not there would be a tie, they would have the matches. You get a half point for a have, and you get a full point for a win. And when our final tally was added up, we had the Europeans winning 18-10. Now, the final score was 17.5-10.5, so we were pretty right on. So I want to brag a little bit about that. And we were, as I said, pretty right on, as the Europeans actually won 17.5-10.5. It was one of the worst defeats ever for the American team, and it was pretty much over out of the 12 matches. I think it was pretty much done on right around match 8 or match 9. I think there were still 3 matches, something like that, going on when it was pretty much determined that there was no way, no matter what the outcome of those final 3 matches, the U.S. could win. I think when Phil Mickelson dumped his ball in the water on like the 16th hole against Francesco Molinari, that was the pretty much clinching moment, although Phil was down big in that match, and it would have taken a miracle rally for him to pull it out. That pretty much was the final touch as far as the European team was concerned, and they were able to win back the cup that they lost to the Americans in Minnesota back 2 years ago at Hazeltine Golf Course. And the Americans were going over to Europe this year trying to win the cup on European soil for the first time since back in the early to mid-90s. It had been a long, long time, and of course it's going to be at least 4 more years before they get another chance. The Ryder Cup is coming back to the United States. They will play at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin in 2020. That will be the site of the next Ryder Cup as the Americans try to recover and recuperate after the Europeans handled them pretty handily this year, leading from wire to wire at Le Golf National, the golf course just outside of Paris, France, the site of this year's event. Still trying to track down Rangeris. Dave Sedlowski standing by. And we'll take a break, and we will come back with more of Tee to Green. We're at the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Scott Cuddy is in master control. I'm Jay Ritchie. Be right back. Stay with us.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Pedro Fernandez here. You might know me as the host of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but this time I'm here to talk about that four-letter word everybody dreads, pain. If you have back pain or knee pain like I do, hey, you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. I'm talking about if Medicare is your primary medical insurance, and guess what? You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. Anything to help me with the pain, hey, makes it more manageable, gets my attention, folks. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for your back, ankle, knee, or shoulder, guess what? Give the Health Alert Hotline a call, toll-free, 1-800-428-1570, 1-800-428-1570. You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge, 1-800-428-1570, the Health Alert Hotline, 1-800-428-1570.
There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy, well, I'm afraid to ask. Well, what is it? What's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
Tee to Green takes you to the driving range with our tip of the week. The Broadmoor is one of the world's premier resorts and the longest holder of the prestigious AAA Five Diamond Award. This 3,000-acre property has 700 rooms and suites, a world-class amenity spa and fitness center, plus more than 185,000 square feet of meeting space.
The Broadmoor is located 5 miles southwest of downtown Colorado Springs and 1 hour south of Denver. The Broadmoor continues to stand in the forefront of world-class facilities, amenities, and service, combining modern comfort and convenience with an elegant charm of the past.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Kelble, the head golf pro at the Broadmoor. Today, I want to speak to you a little bit about the setup, grip, two very, very important things to play consistent golf. If you want to hit good golf shots, you better learn how to grip the club correctly. Your left thumb has got to go about 1 o'clock. Right thumb about 11 o'clock on the other side. They oppose each other. The club is gripped in the palm of the left hand and the fingers of the right. Very, very important. They need to stay together to have them act as a hinge as much as possible. Now the setup. Your feet need to be about shoulder width apart. Hands about a Coke can away from your legs. Left shoulder slightly higher than your right. That's important because your right hand is lower on the shaft than your left. Your feet, hips, and shoulders all need to be parallel. In other words, you don't want your hips open, your shoulders open, or 1 foot behind the other. This will help you hit good golf shots no matter what your lie is, no matter what the distance is, or if you're off the tee.
For more on the swing and on the grip, check out teetogreenradio.com or visit your local PGA professional.
Destination listening for dedicated golfers. You found it. It's Tee to Green. It's the golf show. Jay Ritchie talking golf every Sunday here at the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Coming up, we'll talk Ryder Cup with Dave Shedlowski, who was in France last week covering it for a number of publications, including Golf Digest. It has been talked about. It has been dissected, and Dave will give us his special insight from a perspective of being there actually at the event all last week and covering the Americans and the Europeans in the biennial Ryder Cup event. On the Pro Tour this week, the Safeway Open is going on at Silverado Country Club in Napa, California. And I know this sounds confusing, but it's the first event of the new PGA Tour season. The old PGA Tour season ended a few weeks back with the Tour Championship at Eastlake. That's the event that Tiger won, the last one of the year. And the new season actually started this weekend. The 2018-2019 PGA Tour season we'll see some major changes. Some of the main changes fans will see next year. Well, the FedEx Cup playoffs, which had been comprised of four events, will be three events. There will be the Northern Trust Open, the BMW Championship, and then the Tour Championship to wrap things up. Starting in 2020, the Northern Trust will swap between a course in the New York City area and a TPC Boston every year. But for next year, three events instead of four to comprise the FedEx Cup playoffs in the month of August. Two new events coming to the PGA Tour, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. That'll be held June 24th through 30th in Detroit. That's coming up right after the U.S. Open. And then Minneapolis, which has hosted a Champions Tour event for the past several years, will be hosting the brand new 3M Open, July 1st through 7th. That's 3M Open in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a new event on the PGA Tour. The Canadian Open, or the RBC Canadian Open, is going to move up 1 month. Instead of being played in late July, they will play it in early June, June 3rd through 9th, and that's right before the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open will be held around the same time, Father's Day, in June. Now, the really big changes on the PGA Tour that have got a lot of folks' attention, the Players' Championship is moving up 2 months. They'll move it from May to March, and they'll play it at Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra, Florida, the week of March 11th through 17th. In fact, that'll be right after the Arnold Palmer Invitational and right before the Valspar Championship. So the Players' Championship moving up 2 months from May to March, mid-March, and then the PGA Championship will move from August to May. It'll be played that week when they were, when they've been playing the Players' Championship. The PGA Championship will move from August to be played the week of May 13th. The PGA Championship, long, long time ago, used to be played in spring, in May or in April. And then a few years back, they moved it to the tail end of the golf season. They put it in August, but now it's going back to where it was originally played in the springtime. The PGA Championship this year will be played in May at Bethpage, New York. The actual dates, May 16th through 19th. And then a couple of other events also affected on the PGA Tour calendar for 2018-2019. The Houston Open and the tournament known as the Military Tribute at the Greenbrier will be played as part of the 2019-2020 schedule sometime in the fall. I don't think they've really set dates yet for that, but or if they do, they're not etched in stone. The Houston Open and the Military Tribute to be played at the Greenbrier will be played as part of the next year's schedule sometime in the fall. Now, the main reason for all the changes, well, what that is going to do is two things. It's going to give the PGA Tour a major event, a major championship, or a huge tournament in every month from March, April, May, June, July, and August. In March, we'll have the Players' Championship, March 14th through 17th. In April, there will be the Masters Championship at Augusta, April 11th through 14th. Then a month later, in May, the PGA Championship from Bethpage, May 16th through 19th. And then, of course, the following month, the U.S. Open in its traditional spot right around Father's Day. And next year, the U.S. Open is going to be at Pebble Beach in Northern California, June 13th through 16th. Then in July, of course, the attention will be overseas, Northern Ireland for the Open Championship, the British Open Championship, played July 18th through 21st, the final of the four major championships at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. And then in August will start out with the Wyndham Championship, but then they'll move right into the FedEx Cup playoffs for the next 3 weeks. August 8th through 11th, the Northern Trust Open at Liberty National in Jersey City. August 15th to 18th, the BMW Championship, Medina Country Club, Medina, Illinois. And then, of course, the Tour Championship to wrap up the season, August 22nd through 25th. And that, once again, will be played at East Lake in Atlanta, Georgia, where it has been for the past several years and where it wrapped up just a couple of weeks ago with Tiger Woods getting back into the victory circle for the first time in a while. The other reason they are doing this, besides the fact that now they will have a major event in every month from March through August, is they will wrap up the PGA Tour schedule and the PGA Tour season pretty much before the NFL season starts. They got tired of going head-to-head with the juggernaut that is the National Football League. What this does for the PGA Tour, they'll wrap up August 25th. The NFL season doesn't start until the first or second week in September, either right around, right before, or right after Labor Day. And so there will be no head-to-head competition between these major golf events and the National Football League, especially the first couple of opening weeks of the NFL regular season. So they'll get away from that, and they'll also get away a little bit from the college season as well. Most of the colleges kick off right around the end of August or the first of September, so they won't be going, for the most part, they won't be going that much head-to-head with college football and the NFL, thanks to the changes in the PGA Tour schedule for 2018 and 2019. 2019. And then there may be a little bit of fine-tuning coming after that in 2020 as well. But the 2018-2019 PGA Tour season actually kicked off this weekend. Safeway Open, Napa, California, and we'll talk about that later in the hour when we take you on tour. Next up, Dave Shedlowski. We're talking Ryder Cup. When we come back to the Broadmoor, Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm Jay Ritchie, and this is Tee to Green.
The tap in for Tiger. We thought we'd never see it. Championship winner, Tiger Woods, a winner again, number 80.
Want to stay in touch with your favorite Sports Byline USA network hosts? Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Sports Byline USA. You can also see the latest news in the world of sports, learn about upcoming contests and giveaways, plus catch up on guest info so you never miss a moment with the biggest names in every sport. Football, basketball, baseball, MMA, and more. No matter where you are in the U.S. or around the world, you can stay connected to the host and fans who love what you love. So check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Sports Byline USA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. That's 800-598-0539.
Being a new parent means every high and low you can imagine. But Evos can make it all easier with a baby monitor you can trust. Go to myevos.com. That's myevoz.com to see how Evos can be the eyes and ears of your nursery. Evos works with your smartphone to provide a live audio and HD video connection to your baby anytime and anywhere. On a date, at work, away on business, even serving your country overseas, Evos helps you never miss a moment. Whether your baby is with a sitter, your partner, a grandparent, or a friend, you'll be right there too. And with unique features like smart alerts that know the difference between a barking dog and your baby crying, extensive sleep tracking data, and state-of-the-art security features for your peace of mind, Evos is the smart baby monitor for connected parents. And enter the code SPORTS at checkout for $20 off. That's myevos.com. M-Y-E-V-O-Z.com.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Time to work on your short game. Tee to Green helps you get it up and down.
The Broadmoor is one of the world's premier resorts and the longest holder of the prestigious AAA Five Diamond Award. This 3,000-acre property has 700 rooms and suites, a world-class amenity spa and fitness center, plus more than 185,000 square feet of meeting space. The Broadmoor is located 5 miles southwest of downtown Colorado Springs and 1 hour south of Denver. The Broadmoor continues to stand in the forefront of world-class facilities, amenities, and service, combining modern comfort and convenience with an elegant charm of the past.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Kelble, the head golf pro at the Broadmoor Golf Club. Today I'm going to talk to you about chipping and helping you get up and down a few more times from around the green. Three things necessary to be a good chipper, and it's all in the technique. One is you have to have your hands ahead of the ball. Make sure that you are leaning towards your target, so your weight is on your left side if you're a right-handed golfer, right side if you're a left-handed golfer. Play the ball back in your stance, back a little further than you think. The key is to have a significant bend in the shaft. There ought to be about a 45-degree angle between where your hands are held and the shaft running down to the ball. Make sure that you keep your weight on that left side and bump the ball with your back of your left hand towards the target. Do not break that down. Keep your Y.
For more on getting the ball up and down, check out the website teetogreenradio.com or visit your local PGA professional.
The show by golfers, for golfers. It's Tee to Green. It's the golf show. How you doing? Jay Ritchie, Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Nice to have you along for the ride today. Everyone in America, anyway, is scratching their heads, wondering, as I mentioned in the open, just what the hell happened in France last week at the Ryder Cup, as the American team, on paper anyway, one of the best ever to play in the Ryder Cup, supposedly got trounced by the Europeans, 17.5 to 10.5. Europe wins the cup back and left the American team headed home with their tails tucked between their legs once again. Our good friend Dave Shedlaski was there, one of the most respected and busiest golf writers anywhere, covering the Ryder Cup in France. And today he's here with us to try to tell us what really went down at last week's Ryder Cup just outside of Paris. Hey, Shed, how you doing? Welcome back.
Well, thanks, Jay. It's good to be back. I wish my body had come back, and it still seems to be lost in a time zone somewhere. But thanks for having me.
Hey, have you ever been to France?
I had never been to France. I actually, except for about a half an hour layover on the way to somewhere else.
So how was it? How was France itself?
Well, it was cold, it was windy, and the chill air through the American team was noticeable pretty much all week. It was a very disappointing week if you're an American golf fan, and a very good one if you're a European fan, and certainly an extremely bad week for Alan Shipnuck of Golf.com, who had continually written, especially after the Americans absolutely whitewashed the international team at the President's Cup, that the Americans were not going to lose for about another 10 years in any team match play. Boy, Europe, after they won on Sunday, they were looking for Alan Shipnuck even. So you say that these guys don't read stuff, you know? They do.
Yeah. So watching it on TV, Europe led wire to wire. Watching it on TV, you kind of got the sense early on that maybe things weren't going to go well for the American team. There in person, sometimes you get a different vibe when you're actually there in person, on site, at the course, around the guys. What was the vibe like there? Did anybody see what happened coming?
I don't think they did. I think everybody knew that the U.S. team was tired. I think that was evident in the run-up to it, and then they got off to that 3-1 lead, and you thought, well, they've shaken off the doldrums and the fatigue and everything else and are ready to play golf. But it just never, even in that 3-1, they never seemed like they were really on top of it. And then they had that just absolutely horrible foursome session. And it was essentially over from there. They talked bravely, but you just sensed that they didn't believe that they could come back. And they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave Shedlaski is with us. He was in France covering the Ryder Cup last week. So you mentioned the U.S. team being tired. Is that legitimate? Is that a legitimate excuse or just one of many factors?
I think it's one of many factors. I mean, the European team was tired too. But the European team had only five of their players who went through the entire FedEx Cup playoffs, other than Jordan Spieth. The entire American team played all four, and of course, Tiger Woods winning that last event at the Tour Championship in Atlanta. I think that took a lot out of him emotionally as well as physically, because I think it was such a monumental achievement for him to have come back from 2 years of back problems, not even playing golf, to win another PGA Tour event. That was just unbelievably significant game, and certainly personally for him. So I don't think he ever really rebounded from that psychologically, emotionally. Frankly, they seem to have the same kind of a hangover. I think part of it, obviously, is just when you go abroad as a playing in front of your American, your pro-American fans, that's a factor. They didn't know the course as well as Europe. I think there is no coincidence that the only American player who played in the French Open at Le Golf National was Justin Thomas, who went 4-1 for the American team. So familiarity certainly favored the European squad as well with that golf course. And, hey, look, at the end, Europe was fired up. And that emotional momentum that they built up from that foursomes route, there was no stopping them after that. So,
yeah.
Quite an achievement for the European team.
Exactly. The Europeans also, I thought, were very smart in the way they took advantage of the fact that the Americans didn't know the course. They set it up tight fairways. The rough was tough, and that pretty much took some Americans like Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, to some extent Brooks Koepka, the big bombers, and even Tiger, who is known to stray from a fairway or two. That pretty much really took them out of it.
It did. I think that's a good observation from, you know, several thousand miles away, and it certainly was the case in France. And some people want to lay some of the blame or a lot of the blame at the feet of Jim Furyk. And Jim Furyk, I thought, did a pretty good job. I really do. And I'm not even pretty good. I thought he did a very good job. I think he seemed prepared. I think he knew that he had the pairings that should have worked. You hear about Patrick Reed complaining about not playing with Jordan Spieth, which I don't know how Tiger felt about that. We'll find out sometime here in the future, because it seemed like Patrick Reed was saying, yeah, I didn't really want to play with Tiger because I wanted to play with Jordan. Hmm.
Huh.
And, at the end of the day, I really just think that Europe wanted this more. They were motivated by so many different factors, and they were better prepared.
Yeah, I think that if Furyk had it to do over again, he might play Tony Finau more.
I think so, and I think that if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't have played Phil Mickelson in foursomes the second day. He would have played him in four ball right out of the gate with Bryson DeChambeau. I'm not sure who he would have sat in that first session, because obviously, they won 3-1. But Phil should have never played any foursomes, 192nd in driving accuracy out of 193 players last season. All that thick rough. And we mentioned the U.S. team being tired. Well, even the 20-somethings were a little tired. And you got 48-year-old Phil Mickelson who can't hit fairways out there. And Phil only played twice. You're not going to put the blame on his feet either. It was a total team effort in their loss and in Europe's win. But all these little things come to bear.
Yeah.
On how these matches play out, that are so much about momentum and momentum within a match, momentum of the end of a match, momentum from point to point.
And back to Tiger for a second. I mentioned on our
on
our Ryder Cup blog on our Facebook page, he looked old, tired, and sore. And he just...
Well, that
just,
pretty much is the devil's triangle, if I can use a modern term now. That's exactly what he looked like. And even in his post-match, even in the post-match press conference on Sunday, it was hard to get any type of a read that he either cared or was motivated, energy-wise, to address what had gone on. He just was lethargic the whole week, all the way around, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
And that showed in his play. Hey, look, people say you can't blame Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and that's true. Alone, you can't blame them. But Tiger only had four birdies in 2 four-ball matches with Patrick Reed. Four birdies. And that's not what you're looking for from, putatively, your leader on the team, or at least one of them, and a guy who had just come off a win just a few days earlier when he looked so brilliant.
Yeah, he's probably also a guy that maybe would have been better off had they set him for at least one of the sessions on Saturday. He might have been fresher for the singles on Sunday. So now, it kind of overlooked in what we're talking about here is the fact that even if the U.S. came in and played great golf, they may not have won because the Europeans were really good.
They've played that course before. They understand the greens there. I mean, you know, it comes down to putting a lot of times, although driving was definitely a factor on those narrow fairways with the high rough. But it still comes down to putting if you can make par-saving putts or birdie putts or whatever you need to make to you know, make sure that you don't lose a hole or you win a hole or whatever it is. And they just knew that course so much better than we did. And look, hey, the last two winners of the French Open at that golf course were on that team, and Alex Noren and Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
So all these are factors too. You know, we keep talking about what's wrong with the USA, but Europe, as you mentioned, was extremely prepared, extremely motivated, and playing well. And that added up to the second worst loss in U.S. history, but also added up to what amounted to one of the great European achievements that we've seen in these matches, because they were definitely, even at home, they didn't look like they were favored. And they went out and they beat this U.S. team badly. Not just beat them badly.
So what does the American team and the powers that be in American golf, do they blow up the system now and start from scratch again, or where do they go from here?
No, there's no blowing up of the system. We're going to see Steve Stricker as the next U.S. Ryder Cup captain. You can mark that down. It's in Wisconsin. He's Wisconsin's own. He's done a President's Cup as a captain. You're going to see him next, and I think they're going to play well for Steve. The Americans have known that course for a while from the PGAs that have been there. The Europeans do too, but they can set it up the way they want, which means we're going to see a links-style course with no rough. And so the Americans can vomit all over the God's green earth. And no, I don't think there's any blowing up of the system. What I do think is that they're going to have to reconfigure their thought process when they go abroad, because having only 6 of 12 guys ever seeing that golf course before Ryder Cup week is just inexcusable in this day and age when they have NetJet and their own planes and can get to where they need to go. They need to have a reconnaissance mission to Rome 2 years out, 1 year out, not this, hey, let's just try and stop over on the way to the British Open.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Okay, Dave Shedlowski. Nominate him for Ryder Cup captain next time around, too. Dave Shedlowski joining us today, talking about the Ryder Cup. Shed, I wish we had a little more time, but thanks for doing this morning. And rest up, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, sorry to run on, but look forward to our next conversation. Thanks, Jay.
All right, Dave Shedlowski with us on the Ryder Cup. Up next, we'll take you on tour here on Tee to Green.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me. For the government. and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But The Secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517. Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited-time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
It is the fastest hour in radio and the quickest hour in golf, and another hour just flying by. But we're not done yet as we take a look at what's happening on tour. The first tour event of the brand new PGA Tour season, 2018-2019 season, is underway in Napa, California, the Safeway Open, and they're going low. Brant Snedeker leads at 16 under par, rounds of 66, 65, and 69. It looks like it's going to be minus 20 or better to win this one. Snedeker, 16 under. Kevin Tway, three shots back at minus 13. Sungjae Im at minus 12. Bill Haas at minus 11. Phil Mickelson's playing in this event. He started out great with a 65 in the first round, but yesterday he shot 74, and he's at minus 8, pretty much took himself out of contention. Fred Couples playing in a rare PGA Tour event. In this event, he is tied with Phil at minus 8, 8 shots behind the leader, Brant Snedeker. The ladies are overseas. It's the UL International Crown, a team event that's being played at the Jack Nicklaus Course in Incheon, South Korea. That's just outside of Seoul. And it's a team event. Pool A, the English team leads with 7 points. South Korea in second place with 6 points. In Pool B, the American team leads the way with 6 points. Sweden is second with 4 points. Japan and Thailand are tied for third with 3 points. The top teams in each pool, players from those teams will get together and play singles matches to determine the winner. Michelle Wee, Jessica Korda, Lexi Thompson, and Christy Kerr make up the U.S. team. And they're also worried about a typhoon that's in the area and playing havoc weather-wise with the UL International Crown on the LPGA Tour. Hey, that's going to do it. Thanks to Dave Shedlowski for joining us to talk about last week's Ryder Cup and the USGA Distance Survey. If you want to take it, usga.org/distanceinsights is the website. That'll do it. Till next time, I'm Jay Ritchie. Hit 'em long. Hit 'em straight.